I really appreciate the idea that brother talked about in session three, the idea indistinguishable, which the Satan want to make us like indistinguishable in this world. This remind me one thing that when I am in elementary school, like my language art teacher approaches me like after class, she asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I was surprised and I say, "Yes." "Why?" And she said, "Because you sing well." And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, probably she has like a stereotypical view about like Christian sing well, they sing bold or something. But here's the thing, that like the thing is, Christian, like we as Christians, we are a little Christ. We should like express ourselves like in this world, that I mean, I don't want to be like be different only by like singing bold, and like this, I mean, this is nothing to be proud of, like, but I want to be distinguished by like how like my actions, my thought, like the Christ figures shown out of me, like the blessings I bring, like the blessings God, Christ in me, like how like lives in me, like to bring to the people around me. So like the God gave me a verse while during that, like the session, that it, the verse is in Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. It says, "The people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." And I ended up by a hymn, like there's a like several lines that I really enjoy. It says, "Am I a person of Christ? Do I experience life? Does my living bear the issue of life?"
Amen. Something that was shared in one of the messages I thought was really, really important. And since there's been so much, like I feel like it bears repeating. And I come to you as like, I came into the church life in my early 20s. I honestly, at that age, I never, never, never thought I would be 50 years old. Right? Like, because far, right? Can you imagine that one day you guys are going to be that old? So when I heard saints sharing things in the front, I was like, well, that's them. Right? Because they're some spiritual ooh-la-la, and that's not me, right? They are a special person. That's why they're up there, and I'm here. And actually, the brothers have said many, many times, and I know it's true, that really they've just lived longer and kind of failed more times than you, so they have all these experiences. And that's true, right? Now I'm 50 almost, and I have failed, you know, countless times in my Christian walk. Really countless, right? But something that I have learned, and by the Lord's mercy I have internalized, is morning revival. Amen. The brothers said that morning revival is the most important practice in our Christian life. And that's true. So many of you have testified that when you get up in the morning, you're anxious. When I was your age, I was not anxious in the morning. And I think you guys have a lot more things to deal with than people in my, you know, when I was your age, I didn't have all the stuff you have. But morning revival has gotten me through. And it is a sacrifice to get up earlier than you have to. And to carve out the time for the Lord, you know, when you might have to take it away from, like, that time in the mirror in the morning. Or whatever you do, right? Or just to bed, right? We don't want to give it up. But I will tell you, over the years, I've spent so much time like, oh, wow, Lord, 3/4 of that time was just me being distracted. Or, you know, but as I grow and go on and fail and repent and try it again the next morning, I can tell you that sometimes I just sit with the Lord and breathe. And there's a speaking and there's a sense and I'm not alone and I'm not anxious. I'm just at peace and it doesn't matter the storm that's around me. And young saints, you have so much going on. You have so many things that are pulling at you. Start to learn the lesson now. And when you fail, just keep trying. Amen. Just keep trying. Amen. Because it is such a blessing to start your day with the Lord.
I really enjoyed what Peter ended with on the two-edged sword, because I had never interpreted that verse as the way he described it, as we need to be on the altar for the effect to take place. I'd never thought of it like that. I thought like, oh, he'll help me with it. He'll do it for me. But I had never realized that how can he sift through our thoughts and our tensions if we don't even allow him the opportunity to show him what we're going to do? And I just never thought of that. And it's actually really funny. I used to do morning revival, or I used to read these little books that talk about the, doesn't matter. Basically, I'd always thought that this morning revival was always super important, and it's actually really funny. I feel like I kind of made the connection of the morning revival helped me bring me to the altar. And it's really funny. I stopped at some point because I thought like, oh, this isn't that important. Like, I don't really care about this. And I just never understood the importance of this morning revival time, I feel like, or I'd never really appreciated it until now. So morning revival is very important.
Amen. I want to speak on one of the words of warning: do not waste time. And take it from someone who wasted a lot of time in college. I think by nature, I'm a procrastinator and I put things off. But I think when you hear this word of warning, you might think of it as like, oh, I need to schedule all my time and I need to make sure like every hour of the day I'm doing something productive. But actually, I think in my experience, not wasting time has to do with what is in our heart and what our heart is turned to. And I think it was like halfway through my junior year of college that I came to the realization that like my first 2 years of college were pretty much entirely wasted. And it's not because I like wasn't doing well in school or I wasn't like doing productive things, but it's because my heart just wasn't turned to the Lord. And I realized that once my heart was turned to the Lord, even things that weren't productive had Christ in them. And so there was value in that time that was spent. But if our heart is turned to other things, then even if we're very busy and we're doing a lot of things, we could still be wasting our time. And we might not realize it while we're young, because like the other sister shared, like you don't feel like you're gonna be 50 when you're in college. You feel very young and you feel like you have so much time ahead of you. And in college, like my mindset for the first couple years was like I just want to have fun. Like this is the time where like we're free, right, for the first time, and we can do so many things. We can do what we want to do. And so in the moment, I didn't feel like I was wasting time because I was enjoying it and I was having fun. And then junior year, I realized like my college years are almost gone. And what did I do that will outlast those 4 years? Anyways, I realized that when our heart is not turned to the Lord, we might be doing many things and wasting our time. But if our heart is turned to the Lord, even like a bus ride, a car ride, even when we're just sitting there, like there's something eternal in it. Anyways, and I just want to give you guys this verse that really like became my experience in college. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember also your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. In college, there are so many pleasures, but what pleasure is going to last and stand the test of time? I think it's hard to see that when we're young, but looking back, the time that we spend with the Lord and with the saints in college, that's what remains and that's what lasts. That's what has eternal value. So anyways, sorry, I'm talking a lot. But our time, how we spend our time, issues from what's in our heart. So just give the Lord a chance. Even if you don't feel super close to him, if your heart is turned to him, then he has a way to attract you and become what you want to spend your time on.
At first, I was slightly hesitant to come here because most of my friends were like sophomore or below, were like unable to come here, and I was scared to like socialize with every saints. But the moment I arrived here and when I started singing, I felt so immersed. I felt so much joy just singing with everyone, and I felt like we were one. We were all together, and God's like greatest trait is His oneness. He's all in one. He's one in all, and I felt so blessed that I was able to feel this oneness just by being here, and feel like I kind of been like undervaluing the blessing of like having the church and having the Lord with me, that this is like something truly so great that I need to appreciate very much.
Amen. I really enjoyed a point made in Outline 2 last night about being similarly and dissimilarly yoked, because there were times when I found myself like surrounded by friends who weren't heading in the right spiritual direction. And for a while, I kind of let that like influence me, and it took me like further away from the Lord. But now I'm like encouraged to be mindful of who I'm influenced by, and I've come to understand that I want to set my mind on a path that is pleasing to the Lord. And let's all seek relationships that strengthen our connection with God and lead us in the right direction.
Amen. Amen. Saul's first question was, "Who are you, Lord?" And his second was, "What shall I do?" It's the same order of the songs we have, thousands of conversations, right? The order matters. There's also a verse in the Old Testament, I can't remember what it was, but it's to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. So in that verse, beholding comes first and then inquiring. We had a conference in the Boston area a couple of weeks ago where the brother said that in our personal time, 90% should be beholding and 10% should be inquiring, if not 100% beholding. Because the more we behold, the more we know who the Lord is. And if we know who the Lord is, we know what we should do. Because like I know my mom now at this point, right? So I don't think I need to ask her what I should do. I have a general idea of what she wants me to do. So it should be that way with the Lord, right? The more we talk to him, the more we look at him, the more we know what he wants us to do.
I enjoyed Philippians 4:11 through 12. Not that I speak according to lack, for I have learned in whatever circumstances I am to be content. I know also how to be abased, and I know how to abound. So I always thought those verses meant Paul knew how to have a lot of stuff. Paul knew how to have not so much stuff. And I was like, why does that matter? Why is that a good thing? But now I understand that Paul knew how to enjoy the Lord with not so much stuff. He knew how to have the same enjoyment, the same level of grace, which is enjoying the Lord with not so much stuff. He knew how to enjoy the Lord with a lot of stuff. And I, this year, senior year, I'm realizing I have a lot more time than I usually do. And I'm not spending my time well a lot of the time. I'm wasting a lot of my time. And so I need grace for more stuff. And I need grace for not so much stuff. Amen, Lord.
I really enjoyed the point about being distinguished. In my 10th grade year, like in my honors Spanish 3 class, there's this junior who was like always participating in class, and like it really seemed like she had everything figured out. But then come a few months later, I'm like walking with my friends outside like in the park next to my school, and I see her like smoking with a couple of people. And like this year, during my senior year, I'm like talking with my peers in my English class, and like they're just talking about like drugs and stuff. And it like, although I would never touch anything, like I would never like engage in anything like that, like it did kind of make me feel like I was like kind of like an outcast. And I realized like through the messages at this retreat that if you want to be distinguished, like you just need to receive the dispensation of God through spending time with him so you can be useful to him.
I found it really interesting that the way Satan recruited us to be on his side was very crafty, and like he didn't come and show us how evil he was. He comes in a way that's like very drawing, like, oh, you can be like God, which is really appealing to humans. And even in our society today, Satan uses the good things to take us away. Things as simple as music or sports, he can basically bring us in and then keep us in, like give us all these nice things, the best teammates, the best events, the best, I don't know, skills, and that can take us away from the Lord. It's by our struggles that the Lord keeps us. Amen. It's by our struggles that we can stay in the Lord, and we're kind of forced to be under the Lord's authority. Amen. So we shouldn't give in to every single thing that we we are able to get, you know, like, follow the Lord, because he will give us struggles, but he will get us through them. Amen. And in turn, we will grow.
Amen. From this past week, weekend, what I really enjoyed was from the fellowship, where how communication is key to building bonds and relationships, not just to family and friends, but also the Lord. When we don't communicate to anyone about, like, anything, then eventually we may feel lost and alone. But we gotta realize that man shall not live on bread alone, and that we are wrong to think that we are alone. The Lord is with us. Amen. There was a time I remember around a few months ago, for around four months, that I wish I'd realized that, where I hadn't turned to the Lord and I completely ignored the purposes and lessons in church and the things going around me that I thought were heavily challenging and difficult were really a struggle. And eventually I just felt really sad about that. I think it was like the spring conference that made me realize that it's not too late to turn to the Lord and pray to him. Amen. When we are lost in, like, I'm sorry, like, difficult times. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think one of the, you know, I've asked several of the young people, what did they enjoy over the weekend? And one of the common themes that seemed to jump out is this matter of not having the stress of knowing that it's not just up to them, you know, to make their choice for their future. And I tell this of my own children, but I tell you young people, you know that the Lord has the best for you. His heart is for you to have the best. What parent does not want the best for their children? That desire is in me for my children. Trust me, that desire does not just come from anywhere. It comes from God, right? And just know that. And I appreciated the little story that Brother David shared when he was deciding what school to go to, UCLA and Caltech. And he ultimately, even though everyone was telling him Caltech, he decided UCLA. And he had that experience with the Lord that he was confirmed in that decision. But he mentioned about how he was walking and he had a friend that he preached the gospel. And I turned to the young girl next to me, the sister, and I said, that's why the Lord wanted him to go UCLA. Because had he not gone to the brother's house, had he not been enjoying the Lord, the Lord couldn't use him. So he was able to save that one. He brought him there specifically to save that young person on that campus. You don't know. We go back to what, you know, Brother Peter was saying. The Lord has an economy, and he knows what he's doing, and he uses you. He needs you to help move his economy forward. So praise the Lord. Know that he has the best for you.
Last year in my school, it was like kind of well known to never go to the third floor bathroom or to go to the bathroom during lunch, because like at some point I went to the bathroom during lunch and I didn't know about this. So I walked in and like immediately there's just like vapor coming out of the bathroom, and I would walk in and in the big stall, like at the end of the bathroom, there were like seven dudes in like a circle, like passing out a packet. And it's just like, even if your friends are doing it, they're just killing themselves. Like, just don't do it. It's just better to be an outcast than be dead.
I enjoyed the part about God's will. I recently heard something that I was like, it was a pretty big decision, and it was like kind of part of the Lord's heart. And then when I heard it, I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, it would impact like my church life in the future. It would impact probably where I went to college. And I was like, Lord, why didn't you tell me about it? Why didn't I know about your will? So then I thought about it, and I spent some time with the Lord, and then I just resolved, oh, I want to know what's on your heart. I want to know your will. So it was really helpful to hear that if we resolve to know his will, then we know, then he will tell us his will, and we will know what he wants for us.
The point about like our parents and what they like their expectations of us. That really made me like think about myself, because I live in a pretty like high achieving town, and my parents have extremely high expectations of me. So I don't know, it's made me reflect. So when I was younger, I used to play chess competitively. I think I was like top 20 in the country for my age group. But then I didn't enjoy it at all. But like now that I think about it, like my parents wanted me to train myself, train my mind, not just for, you know, college or whatever, but for God, for me to build my skills. So I learned a lot from playing chess, like how to plan ahead, how to like concentrate for like 4 hours, 5 hours, extended period of time. Even though I don't play anymore, I just really appreciate that. Yeah.
Amen. I enjoyed this hymn that we sang earlier. The chorus was, "Jesus, living one, flood me thoroughly. Take my willing heart and overcome in me." And I feel like throughout, I'm a senior in college now, and throughout my years, I feel like I've told the Lord no a lot of times and ignored him. And as someone who like is kind of sensitive to that, I was like, oh, it'd be so sad if my friends were like, no, or constantly ignored me. But I realized that through all this, we just need to have a willing heart to choose the Lord's will, and a willing heart to just open to him in every situation and just give every situation to him. So I think that that is something I'm still learning, but that's something that I just encourage you all to just have a willing heart to choose God's will.
Brother Peter talked about the brother who wasn't afraid of death. So basically this brother wasn't ruled by death, right? And I was thinking, if death didn't rule this brother, how come other things in this world rule me? Right? And I think that's because I haven't let the Lord set my boundaries. I haven't let the Lord control my life.
I just have a very short burden, but this retreat, I just wanted to say that I personally have been so watered by not just the young people themselves, but not just the messages, but also the young people. And I was so appreciative to really experience the realization of how important fellowship really is. I guess one thing, if there is anything I think that in my from me to you all as young people, from what I've learned so far in college, is that you are not alone in this process. This process, we understand it's long, but you can get through it. We've all been there, and we understand that, you know, it's going to be difficult, but if you have the Lord, you can get through anything. And I just really appreciate this verse that carried me throughout my whole lifetime, I think. But it says Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I think this retreat was very special in that helping you to realize that fellowship is the key to choosing the Lord's will. And realizing that you can fight this spiritual warfare. It's not something that's easy, but we're running this race together. And that's the important part. If you stick together, you stick with the Lord, you can get through anything. So just remember, you're not alone in this. Christ is there with you.
Amen. You're not alone. Christ is there for you. I just wanted to share a verse with you all that came up in my heart after this speaking. 2 Corinthians 3:16, but whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So as you're going on to school tomorrow, just remember this word that has been spoken to you, and all that is needed is simply to just turn your heart to the Lord. So remember, whenever. At any moment, whenever their heart turns to the Lord.